Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing harmful. You know, we're all going through something. This is football.
Oh, yeah.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Kyle Shanahan just spoke to the media before practice today. 49ers have a ton of guys who are limited. I'll tell you the most important stuff. Both Brock Purdy and Mac Jones were limited, but Brock was more limited, according to Kyle Shanahan. Ricky Pearsall's out for practice today. So he's looking a little iffy at best. Juwan Jennings was limited. So we'll have to let a couple more days play out before we figure out who's going to be on that field down in Santa Clara on Sunday against the Falcons, Goo.
Yeah, but it really – Grant asked a million-dollar question, Grant Cohn, that is, and basically, Sonny, it looks like Mac is less injured than Brock. So, man, I'm at this point, I'm just wondering, when do we see Brock again?
I think it's going to be next week.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I do, and I think it. And I think it. The result of Sunday's game is not going to matter. I think Brock's going to quarterback regardless. Just feels that way.
I got you.
But who knows? I mean, really. Mark Schlereth was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday because one of the things we were talking about is with the Warner injury and with the Bosa injury. Do you need to go out and make a move to even remain competitive, or do you kind of sit tight and maybe see how the next few games go? This is what Mark Schlereth had to say on where the Niners are right now in terms of doing something at the deadline.
I would say that I probably wouldn't want to give a ton of draft capital away. You know, this was one of those that, hey, you started that rebuilding process last year. Young receivers, young defensive backs, some young players. You've had some injuries again this year. And, you know, you're sitting at 4-2 and you've done it with a kind of skeleton crew to this point. And so I don't know that you want to give a lot of draft capital away. I would say that you kind of stay the course. You see if you can get healthy. Listen, man, the rest of the league is pretty meager as well. And I think Kyle Shanahan's a hell of a coach. I think he puts his players in a lot of really good positions to win. And you've been doing it with a backup quarterback. You're sitting at 4-2, bunch of backup wide receivers. You know, I mean, it's impressive what you've done so far. And let's, like, there is nobody that's running away with this thing. I don't think the Rams are going to run away with the division. I don't think the Seahawks are going to run away with the division. So would I be willing to give up all my draft capital? Probably not.
That was Mark Schlereth, conversation we had yesterday. But I want to spin it this way as it relates to Kyle Shanahan. Now, obviously, in sports, there's guys that fans like and guys fans don't like. We know that Kyle Shanahan has some of his some detractors out here. But I want to just concentrate on the first six games of this season and kind of just get the pulse. If you're not crazy about Kyle Shanahan, are you still able to look at this year and be like, but he's done a real nice job with this particular first six games with all the curveballs he's been thrown? Or is there someone out there, are there fans out there that actually look at Shanahan and say, you know what, we should even be in a better spot?
Stoney, I think we'd have to go to Timbuktu to find that person because they shouldn't exist.
I guess what I'm asking you, Goo, is this. Yeah. If whatever Kyle Shanahan's so-called weaknesses are and some of his flaws that the fan base thinks he has. Okay. Has he lessened them this year?
No.
Or has he lessened the flaws that he has? In other words, whatever, his decision-making, all that kind of stuff, his play calling, like,
okay,
how could you say, yeah, he's still, I still don't like, yeah, Shanahan, nah.
Okay, you tell me if I'm being unfair. To the first part of that, the part of him just being a coach and putting his team and guys, and I'm going offense and defense in positions to win. Stani, that has grown. It's as high as the sky. I got this. Might be through six games one of the best coaching jobs ever in the NFL with the amount of injuries. Just keep it through that prism, okay? Now, I still am watching and waiting to see in high leverage situations, and Tampa Bay lightweight qualifies on maybe taking that three and then letting your defense try to get a fumble or what have you, or even stop them and come back and win the game. But I still, in high leverage situations, when something's working, Kyle's so brilliant, and a lot of smart guys, and it goes to that Keyshawn stuff, you want to prove that you're the smartest guy in the room, I still, that's out there for me. But you could say, well, Guru, they're winning close games. Yeah, they're winning close games and plays, and players are making plays. But that's still, I'm keeping it real with myself, Steiny. That's still out there for me. But as far as galvanizing, next man up mentality, and putting your guys in positions to win like a Kendrick Bourne, like Ricky Pearsall, like Mac Jones, I got to put some major respect on Kyle's coaching.
Is he doing a better job than Todd Bowles?
Now, here I go.
They've been hurt.
Yeah, but they've been with Baker the whole way.
Okay.
But we've had Mac. I would have to see a list of what and who they're missing. But there you go.
Well, they have as many receiver issues as the 49ers.
I'm still going to say
Kyle. And they're missing their best running back.
I'm just going to say, and I got you. I'm going to say Kyle because you lost your quarterback after game one and you lost your tight end after game one.
Yeah, I mean, and – you know, in fairness, Warner played five of the first six games. Bosa obviously got hurt early in the year. I'm just wondering, you know, if is there a fair criticism of Kyle this year?
And what would that be?
That's what I'm trying to think.
Okay. Because I don't have any, man. I really, truly don't.
I mean,
rushing Brock back too quickly?
Now, Evan, that's a great one because I got to ask you this to that. What if he just took the word of his quarterback, and before you answer, what if however many weeks go by, let's just say it's this next Sunday after Atlanta, what if that's what he goes on again is your word on you telling me if you think you're able to go and you go out there and wet the bed, can we really truly blame Kyle if that's what it's truly going to be outside of an x-ray telling us how good he is?
Well, I'm assuming he went on the word of his medical staff. I don't know if he let Brock make that decision, but clearly it wasn't the right one. I mean, he got hurt and has missed multiple games after re-aggravating it, and he played horribly in the game he played. So I don't think there's a lot you can criticize Shanahan for this season, but if there's one thing, it would be like he rushed his quarterback too soon. They might have won that game.
Interesting.
And I love it. I just can't go there, Stani. Evan's right. It could be the medical and, hey, Brock, or can you go?
I mean, yeah, I find it hard to believe that if Brock Purdy says, I'm ready to go, they say, okay. I mean, here's what I was thinking about the other day, or not the other day, just as it relates to Purdy and when he's coming back. All right, so we always talk about if it were a playoff game, right, he might play. Steph Curry last year gets hurt in the Minnesota series, right? And the series ends up going five. But there's talk as though if it had gone six, he might have come back, right? Is it?
No, go ahead.
So
a player's name came to mind to me when you brought this up.
What was the discerning factor? I'm going to assume the games were 2 days apart. What if they were three? Like, who would make that decision that, no, we can't have you play tonight in game five, but boy, 2 days later, you're going to be able to play.
Well,
because that's, I think, where we're at with Purdy in a way.
But I believe the ages matter. And I believe with Steph Curry, the franchise, he's everything, Stani. They thought about the future. And with Brock Purdy, again, this is turf toe, and his age may have nothing to do with it. But the reason I bring the age up is you think, okay, maybe it's healing faster. But to that point, to Evan's point, I believe the medicals are part of it, but when you're dealing with delicate injuries or things you really can't see on an x-ray to say, okay, you're ready to go, Stani, why do I feel like I'm in a world of what the athlete says carries more weight than the medical, because the medical is going to ask you, if we can't x-ray it and tell you mathematically or scientifically where it's at, how do you feel? And I got to believe Curry was like, I'm a little ginger, but I can go. But to that, and you didn't ask about this, Aaron Gordon in the playoffs had a hammy and played the next game.
See, this is,
and I thought about, I just, again, they're built different. They're young, one's younger, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, Steiny, but I believe the players, I think I can go, coach or boss, has a lot to do with it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I think you're wrong. But I think every situation's different. For example, I can imagine Steph, they were not going to let Steph play in game five. If Steph said, I'm ready, I want to go.
What makes you believe that, because they would have held him out?
Because he's too important.
So, to your point, what do you think happened two or three days down the road to where, okay,
I don't know.
If we extend the series, just how Steph feels?
Well, clearly, whatever he had done up until game five, Celebrini and the Warriors are saying he is not ready game five. No way, no how. Now, after game five, we got a day. I don't know if it were two. I can't remember if it was 2 days off.
But if we win, and now he gets a day or two off, it's a whole new ball. Like, then what is it?
My bottom line is that I don't think Steph was going to play in game five.
Oh, wow.
No matter what he said. That's what I think. I don't know. I mean, this is all kind of conjecture.
Well, how do we believe Brock would, Evan was very clear, and, you know, he says that's on the coach, bring them back too early. But what do you think the Niner staff could have did with this injury to know if it was too early, but say, Brock, are you able to go? I believe Brock told him, I felt good. Obviously, it was the wrong thing to do, but Brock saying, I think I'm good enough to go.
But it's not about what they're saying. It's about how they're practicing up until that game.
But it had to be good enough for him to go out there and play against Jack. I'm talking
apparently,
about Curry.
I'm talking about Curry. It wasn't, I think, for Curry. That's right. 650 saying there were 3 days off after that game five. It would have been, I think he might be right.
72
Because the
hours.
Warriors had gone through a stretch where they were playing like every other game for about 3 weeks.
And that didn't help him either, yeah.
So in other words, I got to believe that maybe if they look back at how Purdy was practicing before the Jacksonville game, maybe they would have said, you know what? He's not quite good enough. He's not mobile enough. Yeah. Like, there's got to be things they put the player through to make sure that they can do the bare minimum, at least, if not more than that. That's kind of the way I look at it. Yeah, they had a 3-day break because of the Valkyries. Forgot about that. So, Steph, nobody's saying Steph was ducking anything.
Who said that?
Steph wasn't ducking anything. Of course he wasn't. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
Saying he not only wasn't ducking anything, I don't think he could have done anything to get onto the court for game five because they weren't going to let him.
Some could say the series.
He might not have played game six.
Yeah.
If push really came to shove. But
to hear Kyle say, because we saw Kittle come up lame that first game and then he had the hat on. I'm like, okay, this is a nothing burger. He'll be back. But for Kyle to say he had a severe hamstring pull or strain, Steiny, now you're watching him hoping that he doesn't re-aggravate it, you know? You gave it ample time, you think. And you go out here and hopefully doesn't reoccur.
Somebody saying on the YouTube chat, Zeb Bates, go look at the Steph interview and he was talking about it. He was 100% ready. For what?
Oh, is that
game six?
Yeah, that was the next one because you staved off elimination.
But here's the other thing. Game six was 3 days from game five. So how do we know he was going to be 100% for a game 3 days in advance? I just don't think there was any way they were going to let it
Giants for life in the chat go, slow day, why are we even talking about this?
Well, we're talking about it because it's the only thing right now that's of merit and importance about the Niners. Who's going to play?
Man.
Who's playing?
It don't sound like Ricky and Birdie are, man.
Exactly. So
again, you know,
and because the 49ers are so injury plagued and have been, the natural conversation is, are guys coming back when they should? Are they coming back too soon? Or what's going on? And that's all we're asking. Mark, let me ask you this. The Juwan Jennings situation, scale of 1 to 10. 1 being not much, 10 being a lot. What do you think's going on with Juwan Jennings, and how would you classify it?
Okay, can I give a reason as to why I got to my answer?
Course.
It normally on the Goose scale would be a 9.5, but now you got a competent guy in Kendrick Bourne that's come here and obviously doing more than you've ever done. I think it's a 5 now. I don't think it's
makes
anything.
Sense.
And the reason is, from a production standpoint, it's what have you done for me lately? And Kendrick Bourne has almost made you forget about Juwan Jennings. That's not what I'm trying to say is a good thing for the Niners. So it is what it is. And right now, Jennings looks like that poor guy that is sacrificing his body but not getting the reward on the field for whatever reasons. And he let it out with his coach. But as far as it being a distraction, Steiny, it's a nothing burger.
This is what Mark Schlereth said about the Juwan Jennings situation.
Receivers are like children. You know, a lot of them, not all of them, but most of them are like, the diva ones are like children. One, you're completely dependent. 10 other guys have to do their job exceptionally well for you to sniff a ball. And two, you guys whine and piss and moan if you're not fed. You're just like toddlers. And it's incredible. And like I've said this many times, if you're going to whine and piss and moan, what I would like to do is take you down to one-on-one offensive line versus defensive line and let some defensive tackles put you in a guard and let defensive tackles beat the living piss out of you so that you understand what everybody else has to do for you to sniff a football. It is the ultimate team sport. And that position, to me, is the ultimate dependent in that team sport. We're all dependent on one another doing our jobs, but there's no position that's more dependent on everybody else doing their job than wide receiver. And the fact that you guys don't understand that blows me away. It just absolutely befuddles me.
I got to be
Mark
honest, Donnie, I wasn't feeling that, and I don't know why I wasn't feeling that at the beginning. But then he brought it all the way home in regard to, this is a team sport, what we do to get you the damn ball. But let's put it right on the table, brought to you by ATCO, because you didn't ask me, does Juwan look selfish? Or if you had 5 broken ribs playing with a high, when other guys can't get out here for whatever reason, I'm just asking you, do you feel like he's selfish doing that? And they lost the game. Maybe some of that energy was that you threw it to me. Maybe we don't lose, but I'm asking you, does he look selfish?
I wouldn't go that
far.
It's kind of par for the course for receivers. So,
what is Kyle saying? Dude, you're so injured. That's why you ain't getting open.
Well, I don't know if he said it like that.
No, but is that it, what he's meaning? If you were open, Mac's going to throw it to you.
Hey, Sports Talk on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Go ahead.
No, and I was just saying, do you think that's what Kyle was insinuating when he was like, dude, you know?
Maybe.
If I had 5 broken ribs, man, or I came to work with a fever and you guys knew I was sick, but you just needed me here and you were doing other stuff, I think I would explode a little sooner than normal.
I got to answer this text how I kind of would. From the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. Steiny said J.K. scored but didn't play winning basketball against Minnesota. But did Jimmy and Draymond play winning basketball? All they needed to do was get one game so Steph could get back on the court.
No, they did not.
Okay, you're right. But they've played winning basketball.
Okay, all right, wow.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And you're right, they didn't.
But you just diffused them there by admitting it. But they have.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Draymond was the worst player in the series. Like, he never wants that smoke again with Randall. That was bad.
Worst
player. Pascal Siakam gave it to him in the 2019 finals. He was on a podcast. Me and Bonte talk about it all the time. You and I were there front row. He had nothing for Siakam.
Okay? We need a fourth guy.
Well, that's only two.
No, I got another one.
Boris Diaw.
Pascal Siakam.
Give me what I'm trying to do.
Julius Randle are the only guys that I can think of that Draymond has had trouble with in his career.
Who it ain't Sabonis.
Who would be the full? No, it isn't.
How about Anthony Davis? I seen him punk Anthony Davis.
Cat.
Now, that's an interesting one.
Well, the last game they played, Cat absolutely dominated him.
Remember that, Stoddy? Cat was, hey, Evan, that was a Friday night. He was giving it to him.
When Cat was with the Knicks?
Yeah, he had like 35.
Remember that game came down to the wire and he couldn't miss?
I can't quite remember that.
That's a great call, Evan.
Yeah. You know what? I would love, you know what?
You can't say Jokic because he just kills everybody. But
yeah.
Aaron Gordon. No, he used to own Gordon.
Yeah, he did.
Gordon and went to the lab, though.
See, I think like Draymond would, I would love, like that's a question that I think he would love to answer.
And he would have one, too. I'm trying to think.
I mean, like somebody saying Şengün, a little early for that.
Yeah, because he battled with Şengün and got him off his spot a few times. But that series went seven because of Şengün. But
He did.
One more guy. Evan might have it with Cat, man.
But I always seem to remember, in the grand scheme of things, he kind of
did fine. I mean, it's got to be in recent years.
And it's like, also got to be
a few people got Draymond in his prime.
Right, no doubt.
Now, you're going to laugh, but I've seen Zubac do work against the Warriors and
you might be right.
You know, just
that's
a
so
bit.
Unfair. Yeah. Though. You know what I mean? Because that's unfair. But
he's got 80.
It might be.
Think about all these names we're naming, though. They're all 7-footers because he's got to play center.
That's all. Evan, thank you, man. Keep it in perspective, man.
Yeah, that's why he can't do that this year.
The great Jim Barnett said Draymond Green might be one of the best defenders he's ever seen.
He actually said the best.
The best. Like, man, Stoney, I want him in my foxhole.
I wonder who that would be. I don't know. And, you know, don't ever forget that Jim Barnett played alongside Bill Russell.
Who was the OG that went at Draymond? All he does is run his mouth. He don't do anything. They throw him the ball. He just throws
Oscar Robertson.
Kendrick Perkins.
Hey, what you got?
Here's another one. Steven Adams.
Now that.
Seven. He's a behemoth.
Now, what about...
But he never...
The OKC...
He wasn't good enough offensively.
What about the OKC version of... Daddy, I'm getting... What's my boy's name?
Ibaka,
yeah. OKC version?
No.
Draymond
went down screaming and kicking in that series.
Yes, he did. And almost getting arrested. All right.
Wow.
Coming up on the other side, we've got crossover time. With Mark Willard and Dan Dibley. And that's always an entertaining 20-minute segment. We'll get into that. We'll talk to them.
Losing streak. Three in a row.
And I'm sure we'll hear all about it on 95.7 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.